The Interior Department's relationship with industry has come into question after the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. Regulators at Minerals Management Service accused of being too cozy with oil and gas companies. MMS, of course, has since been replaced by another agency. But not all public-private relationships are that problematic. Now, the FAA is receiving kudos in a new report from the IBM Center for the Business of Government. That report's author Russell Mills, says the way the FAA is collaborating with industry can serve as an example for other agencies. And he joins us now live in studio to explain how this works. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, your report focuses on voluntary collaborative partnerships. Define that for me.
Well, what the FAA has done since 1976 is they've operated a series of programs that will allow operators, broadly defined, such as pilots, maintenance personnel, to voluntarily submit disclosures when there's some sort of safety violation they discover on their own. What this does is it incentivizes companies to share data with the agency. And, of course, in this this era of reduced government budgets, that's paramount.
Now, you have kind of a three-way situation here because you have the airline operators and the FAA. And the pilots are really part of a pilots union, which is a player here that's somewhat distinct from the airline operator. So how do you balance all three of those in the equation when these talks take place?
Well, the one program that I look at in the report is called the Aviation Safety Action Program, or ASAP for short. And what this program does, it's a little, it's really innovative in the world of the federal government, I think, is what it does. Once a pilot, we'll use a pilot for purposes of this. When a pilot submits a report, that report then goes to what they call an event review committee, which is made up of an FAA inspector from the local office, an airline representative, and somebody from the pilots union. And what they do is they sit down, decide whether the report or the violation that was submitted meets the criteria outlined in the advisory circular. And then what happens is they collaboratively decide on a corrective action, which is then implemented at the airline level. And then if enough of these reports are generated across airlines, the FAA is working on a system that will look across airlines and then implement that change if it warrants it across all airlines.
So on that level, then everybody gets their eyeballs on it. Everybody works together to figure out what went wrong and how to make it right. And then there's a best practices issue where lessons are learned, and then they can move forward, and this won't happen again, theoretically.
Yeah, that's the case. I shouldn't say it's the case that it doesn't happen again, but the FAA is aware of it, which is the key. The FAA could spend as much money as they wanted to inspecting every pilot, being in the cockpit of every plane. Obviously, that's unfeasible. What better way to have the data come to the agency than through the operators themselves disclosing without fear of retribution, and confidentiality is also ensured in the program.
And we're speaking with Russell Mills. He's author of the IBM Business of Government Report, The Promise of Collaborative Voluntary Partnerships. And your report focuses on FAA, but from what you learned in doing this report, do you think that at the Minerals Management Service, some kind of after-action collaboration and reporting might have helped or could still help?
Well, one of the there's two lessons I think that are key out of the report. The first is that these programs do not replace traditional inspection activities. They're meant to complement them. If you reduce or you eliminate the threat of a fine, there really is no incentive to then voluntarily disclose. So you still need to have the stick, so to speak, while providing the carrot. The other lesson I think that's critical, and this, the MMS and also what took place in the SEC that led to the financial collapse, there was one thing that was missing was the FAA has a dedicated office or branch that monitors all their voluntary programs. They issue policy guidance. They answer questions for people who have questions. And that is something that I think is key for federal managers. If you're going to set these up, it's best to have a dedicated team because it requires a different type of thinking than is normally found in regulatory agencies.
Because I guess the danger is always there that there could be collaboration could spill over into, say, collusion or too cozy relationship, and then that could have bad effects down the line.
Well, the FAA isn't immune to that problem. In 2008, there was an incident with Southwest Airlines where the local FAA office was allowing submissions into this other program called the Voluntary Disclosure Reporting Program, which is outlined in the report. To be accepted when they really weren't supposed to be, they weren't meeting the criteria for acceptance. Now, what happened here was the principal inspector allowed these to be accepted in. It turns out there was a ton of safety violations at Southwest that weren't being addressed. And this led to, I'm sure some people remember in April 2008, the FAA randomly sampled 10% of every fleet, and this led to American Airlines having 3,100 of their flights canceled and stranding 250,000 passengers in the airport. So the FAA isn't immune to this, and they've actually taken steps to correct that after correct the voluntary disclosure reporting program after that incident.
Now, we've talked a lot about the FAA. Why focusing on the FAA? Are they sort of setting the standard for how this sort of partnership would work?
Well, I selected the FAA for a couple reasons. The first was they had three separate defined reporting programs. Actually, they have seven separate voluntary programs they operate, but they had three different programs that I thought we could look across and look for lessons derived from each one. That was the main reason I picked the FAA, and the other reason was they have this central branch, which I found sort of innovative across government. They have a specific voluntary programs branch in their flight standards service, which I thought was very innovative, so I decided to choose that for that reason.
Now, Russell, I think our audience might be interested a little bit in about you yourself. You prepared this report. You don't actually work for IBM, but you're a graduate student. Tell us about how you came to write this report and what your degree is all about.
Well, my degree is in political science. I'm getting my PhD at Kent State University. And the reason I chose this was I'm very interested in public policy and public management questions. And this, like I mentioned, with the Southwest and American Airlines incident, I caught the news report on that, and I thought, wow, this is a very interesting question. So I decided to look at these programs. And when I started doing them, a lot of academic research tends to be in the ivory tower, and I wanted to make sure that this was something that could be practically applied to federal agencies. So I went ahead and applied for the IBM grant. I was lucky enough to receive it. And I tried to structure the report in a way that would be useful for managers across government.
And what sort of research did you do?
Well,
Did you talk to the FAA, for example?
Yeah, I tried to get to almost every field office that oversees a specific airline across the country. So I traveled to offices, from San Francisco to pretty much across the country interviewing them. I also interviewed folks at NASA who operate one of these programs for the FAA. I interviewed several folks at airlines to get their perceptions, because I didn't want it to be strictly focused on the federal side. You need to get both sides of the story to see how things are really working.